Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
Is there purpose for human life? Does life after all have real meaning? Do you know why you were born? One of the very first things that we need to realize that has been utterly overlooked in the Bible is this. The creation of Adam was not completed. The first chapter of Genesis, called the creation chapter, actually does not record the completed creation at all. This creation was not finished, was created, as revealed in Genesis 1, was a physical creation, the mortal physical man and woman, the physical material with which to create the spiritual creation. What God is creating in humans is the crowning supreme masterpiece of all His works of creation, and that will be, when finished, thousands of millions of people made spirit, born into the kingdom of God. Let's go back and notice the physical creation of man. In Genesis 2 and 7, it is plainly stated, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being," or a living soul, as some translation brings out. When God caused breath, that is air, to be breathed through man's nostrils, that man composed of the dust of the ground became a soul, became a living soul, if you will. God is composed of spirit, not of physical matter. John 4:24 tells us that God is composed of spirit, that God is spirit. But nowhere does the Bible say man is a spirit. Nowhere in the Bible can you find the expression immortal soul or immortality of the soul. Now let's continue with Genesis Chapter 2, 8 through 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Verses 16 through 17. Now what have we seen so far? God made man mortal, composed of physical matter. In Genesis 3:19, God said to Adam, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Notice what is symbolized and revealed here. The tree of life symbolized eternal life. Genesis 3, verse 22. Adam and Eve did not as yet possess immortal life. They were required to make a choice. Also in the garden was another tree with symbolic meaning, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To make the wrong choice of taking of that forbidden tree would impose the penalty of death. "You shall surely die," said God, if they chose to disobey and take of that tree. In other words, as we read in Romans 6 and 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." So the gospel is the good news of eternal life in the kingdom of God. God forbid Adam and Eve to take the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil under penalty of death. Why? Why did God do that? Well, because he wanted them to choose the way of every desired good, because he wanted them to avoid causing evils, sorrows, pain, suffering, unhappiness. Therefore, taking this fruit was symbolic of transgressing God's law. To have taken of the tree of life would have been symbolic of receiving the gift of God, God's Holy Spirit, the very love of God, as it brought out in Romans 5, verse 5, and which it says in Romans 13 and 10, fulfills the law. And also which God gives only to those whom obeys him, Acts 5:32. In other words, God gives his spirit, and God has promised his spirit to those that obey him, and he only gives his spirit to those that obey him. But by partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they took to themselves the prerogative of deciding what is good and what is evil. In so doing, they rejected God's law and rejected it. And by rejecting it, of necessity, they chose the way that transgresses it. They pioneered in deciding for themselves what is right and what is wrong, what is righteousness and what is sin. And humanity has been doing what seems right in his own eyes ever since. Humanity has been going the way that seems right unto a man ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. God's spiritual creation is still in progress. The real answer was brought out by Job. If a man die, shall he live again? Job asked, and he answered that question. All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer. You shall have the desire of the work of your hands. That's brought out in Job 14. Job knew that there was a change coming. Job knew that he was physical, flesh and blood, and that there had to be a change coming for him. The latter part of his quotation, most often overlooked, is the key to this whole riddle. Read it again. You shall desire the work of your hands. Study that. Think about that, my friends. You shall desire the work of your hands. Job knew he was merely the work of God's hands, merely a piece of plastic clay in the hands of the master potter. In the creation of Genesis 1, God formed and shaped man physically. But we do not, as humans, have the spiritual character of God. During this lifetime, for those whom God calls, if they yield and respond, God begins to reform and shape them spiritually, so that they become more and more like him in spiritual character. God tells us that those who are called and converted will be led by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 and 9. The Holy Spirit works within us, and by its presence in our life, we can bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus will live his life in us, as is recorded in Galatians 2, verse 20. After conversion, we walk in newness of life, as it brings out in Romans 6 and 4, putting on the new man and growing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In this new creation, God works in man. The man must be born again. We aren't born again today, my friends, as is the common belief. We're only born once today, and we're begotten by God's Holy Spirit so that we may be born at the proper time into the family, into the kingdom of God. God made Adam out of matter. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." We must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Not again of the flesh, not entering our mother's womb, as Nicodemus thought he meant, but born of the Spirit, born of God. As we were born of the flesh from a fleshly human father, so now we must be born of the Spirit, born of God. We must be born of the Spirit by God, the heavenly spiritual Father. And this process is brought about in God's great purpose by a person first coming to see how wrong are the ways of mortal humans, thinking and living contrary to the revealed laws of God. This first stage is repentance, surrender to Almighty God. But we are the clay models in the hands of the master potter. If in this life our thinking, our ways are changed until we really do become in spiritual character new creatures in Christ Jesus conformed to his will, then that clay model, worked over, fashioned and shaped as God would have it, is finally turned into the finished spiritual creation. This entire creation therefore begins in Christ and is finished by Christ. Do you see now what God is creating in you and me? He is creating something higher than angels. He is creating a supreme masterpiece of all his creation. God first formed out of dust, out of matter, the flesh and blood man in the image of God. And God is taking the human family through a process, the results of which, even as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, mortal, that is, image of Adam, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man, Christ Jesus, immortal, the second Adam. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. But we have rejected that knowledge and that way of life that could teach us the purpose of life and why we were born and what our destiny is. We have rejected that, my friends. We weren't put here just to live our physical life and then die and either go to heaven or to hell, as the common belief and teaching of Christianity seems to be today. We weren't put here to just live our life without a purpose. We weren't put here to not know our destiny and to not know why that we were born. We have rejected that knowledge. My friends, we have rejected the Word of God, and we have gone the way that seems right unto us. If you would like to know more about why you were born and your destiny and the purpose of life, we invite you to request our free booklet, Why Were You Born? All you have to do is just dial 1-800-611-8080. It will explain in much more detail this vital subject. Request that booklet, Why Were You Born? It is an eye-opener, my friend. Just call 1-800-611-8080. That's 1-800-611-8080. And we'll see you next week. Until then, I hope things will be the way it ought to be for you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.